Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Cape Crusader Cody, and we are keeping it geekly with our new friend, Evan Crothers. We're here to break down Mixology Noir Book 1 and everything in between. Evan, welcome to the stream. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not too bad. I had the chance to read Vesper, and holy crap, this is such a dark and wild ride. I always love how it starts with like a drink recipe too. I think, you know, that was such an interesting twist. Before we dive too much into the Mixology Noir Book 1, let's kind of break down who you are and how you got into creating indie comics.
Yeah, so I've had a side business for a number of years, 6 or 7 years now, where I create stuff for tabletop gaming. 3D printable models, like supplements, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's so cool.
And part of what I did, part of what I did for that was creating sci-fi, a whole sci-fi world that I was ideating on with miniatures, like 3D printable spaceships, all that kind of stuff. So the idea just kept going in my head, and I've always been a storyteller, you know, doing tabletop gaming and stuff. And I just decided one day, why not move it into comics and tell my story start to end? So the first comic I created was called The Ignis Quadrant, which just wrapped up with a volume one Kickstarter a couple months ago. So that was 6 issues of a space Western inspired by Firefly, Cowboy Bebop, Star Wars, stuff like that. And I always loved reading comics, loved creating them even more, and I'm hooked. So just dove in head first now, and I have a ton of projects coming.
That's so cool. So you, how many Kickstarters did you say that you ran for that series?
So for the Ignis Quadrant, there was 5. So there was, well, one was on Indiegogo because I wanted to try the platform, but the other 4 were on Kickstarter.
So, how was your experience kind of like diving into like creating your own series like that and then, publishing it like that, you know, self-funding?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I mentioned my side business, before EC3D is called. I've done 30 Kickstarters for that business.
Wow.
In tabletop gaming. So I have a very deep understanding of, you know, what goes into creating a Kickstarter, you know, the graphics, the marketing, all that stuff. So I thought it was going to be a one-to-one transition into comics. I'm like, how different can it be? You know, you do marketing the same, everything the same. It is not the same. So, and you can't just assume like a tabletop gaming audience is going to love comic books. You know, many do. There is an overlap in that Venn diagram. But I had to learn the hard way that, you know, you have to really do a lot of grassroots marketing. You have to, you know, put a lot of time in getting eyeballs on stuff. And I'm even learning that with my current Kickstarter, changing genres. You know, it's not exactly the same audience. So that's something I think I'm going to have to learn at every stage of my journey, is really honing in on who my readership is and how I get in front of them.
So at what point did you create Woven Press?
Yeah, I think I created that probably maybe a year ago. The first Kickstarter or two I did for my sci-fi series, I did it as EC3D. And then when I realized I was going to make a lot more comic books, and try to get some of the direct market and stuff too, I wanted to put branding in front of my efforts other than just my, you know, side business for tabletop gaming. And, you know, creating logos and branding and design is one of my favorite things in the world. I've done lots of graphic design in my life, and I wouldn't miss an opportunity to put fun, you know, specific branding around an initiative like a comic imprint.
Oh, that is so awesome. So this leads us to what we're here to talk about today. Can you give us a little bit about the current book that you're campaigning for?
For sure. So my current Kickstarter is called Mixology Noir Book 1. It uses a couple terms in there that not everyone knows, so I'll describe those because it helps. Mixology is the study and craft of making cocktails. So some bartenders that kind of dabble in like really interesting cocktails and the science behind the ingredients and everything call themselves mixologists. And I'm a former bartender as well, which is where my interest came from there. And most people know what noir is, but it's a style of film and other genre or another literature where it's characterized by really dark themes, protagonists that have very few, if any, redeeming qualities and usually unhappy endings. So blend all that stuff together into mixology noir.
You know, and go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say.
I was going to keep ranting about the book.
Yeah, let me take the wheel. I'll rant a little bit too. I really loved how dark and gritty it was. You did a perfect explanation there. Like, it's almost like these, you want to say they deserve what they get, but it's almost then you feel like, am I as bad as them for saying that? Like,
yeah, noir is weird. Like, you're never supposed to really love the characters, but you still go along with the journey the whole time with them, which is you know, the opposite of traditional storytelling, where you have to give them some redeeming quality that the audience connects with, that be invested in the journey. But in noir, it just taps into that dark part of all of us, where you're like, well, hey, I have some of those tendencies, or I have a little bit of that myself too.
And like I said, I had the chance to read Vesper, and I thought you really did a good job of balancing something that would actually be realistic, something that you could hear about happening, something that you could look and hear a story about, you know. Can you give us a little bit what went into crafting these stories?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mentioned I'm a bartender by trade for years ago, and I do a lot of craft cocktails and mixology for fun now. And I have a lot of years of sitting, you know, writing tabletop gaming stuff and comics and weird bars that I live around. And one of them is a weird dimly lit Russian vodka bar, which you may see the influence in Vesper there. And the other is a really cool, swanky, like 300-year-old supper club that has, you know, exposed limestone walls and stuff. And each of these places and the cocktails themselves kind of tell a bit of a story. The names of the two stories in the books are Vesper and Sazerac, and each of those is the name of a craft cocktail, both of which are, you know, very long-standing classic craft cocktails that have been around for almost 100 years. And the cocktail itself inspires parts of the story, but you really don't have to be into alcohol or into, you know, any of this to enjoy the stories. They're two standalone horror stories, 31 pages long each. So the book is a double feature. It's going to be printed back to back, so you'll read one, flip it over, read the other one.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, two covers, foil, embossing, soft matte, laminate, all that kind of fun stuff.
So any like symbolism behind those two drinks, or were those just the two prominent ones that you thought of first?
Yeah, so both of these stories are inspired, like I said, by a specific bar that I personally have been going to for a long time. Mm-hmm. And each of those bars is known for certain types of things. The Vesper is a martini, which has vodka as one of the main ingredients, so it tends to be something you get a lot at a Russian vodka bar. And the Sazerac is a rye whiskey-based cocktail. It's an old throwback to the jazz era in Louisiana. So I've drank these cocktails specifically at the bars that kind of are loosely inspired in the stories. And they just kind of came together in my head in a way that I thought matched kind of the backstory of the cocktail, but also the vibe that you would be drinking that cocktail.
Oh, I got you. That is awesome. I think right now let's, you know, let's go ahead and segue over to the Kickstarter. Let's check out the campaign and see what all the hype is about. So we are looking at Mixology Noir Book 1, Sazerac and Vesper, a horror noir double feature comic with two standalone stories inspired by a classic craft cocktail. $2,893 of a $5,500 goal with 47 backers and 9 days left to go. And Project We Love as well. So congratulations on that, Evan. So how are you feeling right now? Right over the halfway mark. How's you know, this Kickstarter been treating you compared to the rest?
Great. You know, I didn't even realize it until you just pointed it out, but I had no idea this got Project We Love. They didn't email me about it or anything. I don't know if it just got added or what, but cool. Sweet. No, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We have Vic joining us over on YouTube as well. Thank you for stopping in. Welcome to the stream. So let's go ahead and check out some of these interiors down below. And then we have Sazerac right here. So give us a little bit about what this story is about, because I had the chance to read the other one, but I didn't have the chance to really dig into this one. This one looked really interesting.
Yeah. If you scroll up, actually, the best way to show this might be just click that video. I built a cool flip-through animation that shows
right
the
here?
Whole book. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's, like I said, two stories. You'll see it flip through here. You got Sazerac. It's reads front to middle, and then you flip it over, and you'll see Vesper on the other side.
That is so cool.
Recognizing.
And I love the way it ends like that too. Like how they both end together like that. That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah. I put a lot of thought into that. I'm kind of excited to have the physical version in my hands to see that come to fruition. But the book is, as I mentioned, it's I wanted something that was very high quality. Because when I thought about this, I want this to be able to sell to people that don't even read comics, but they still think it's interesting. I want this to be something that can sit on a granite bar top and a swanky supper club and still feel like it fit. So you can see the style of the covers. You know, they're really black and white noir inspired with the Art Deco frame bordering and That'll be embossing and foil and soft touch on the both sides of the cover as well.
So can we talk a little bit about the creative and team, the creative team involved with each book?
Sure.
Or each story, I mean, excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wrote both stories, and Eric Palicki, who's a very prominent indie writer, editor, helped edit both of them as well. So they feel similar, even though they're totally different stories. And they have, each book has a different art team. So Sazerac was created by an illustrator by the name of Vlad Vov. He's done a little bit of comic work in the past, but he's done a lot of illustration and fine art. So it, you can kind of see that in the style of Sazerac in terms of, you know, the inspiration for not really traditional comic composition, but I think it worked really well. And then on that book, the colorist goes by Wem7. Just a fun style, really kind of got the old world, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, like the dark, brooding cocktail lounge experience going there.
That's gorgeous.
And this book takes place, the one sentence pitch is that a guy is fighting with his wife and goes desperately searching for a cocktail and finds himself in a mysterious bar filled with long forgotten gods. And they and the alcohol mess with him, play a lot of tricks on his mind, and he goes on quite the journey through this story.
Here's some larger preview of those images as well. These are gorgeous. These interiors are just gorgeous. I get what you mean about that cocktail vibe to it as well.
Right.
This bartender looks a lot more sinister, though.
You know, I mentioned this is inspired by a real place. So that bartender, other than the patch, he is, I mean, this is basically a perfect replication of the bartender, the 80-year-old guy that still bartends at this old supper club that I love.
I love, like, the wolf and the bird, engraved in the wood, too. That's gorgeous. That's awesome.
Yeah, so if you're into ancient gods and goddesses and that kind of history, there's a lot of fun lore in here related to that.
So let's talk a little bit about Vesper as well. I'll go up here and, you know, scroll up here so we can take a look at the creative team as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I mentioned, this was written by myself and edited by Eric as well. And the artist is named Martin Jimenez. Great artist. He's done a couple other indie horror books that you can find pretty easily. And colored by Ichsan Ansori, another great indie colorist who's on quite a few books and I'm using for a few other ones of my own. Very versatile, really, really great colorist.
And we'll go ahead and scroll
down.
And
I guess I didn't mention this, but I lettered both of the stories myself as well.
Oh, cool, cool. Were you a letterer on your other series or was this your first dive into that realm?
I lettered some of the later issues, but not the initial series or initial issues. I learned how to do it over the last year and a half, and it's become a very, very big passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say as a writer, it's so much fun to go through the iterations of, you know, writing a script and then, you know, going through the art editing and everything. But then when the words go on the page and I can design them myself, it's easy to tweak stuff, see reflow stuff, and determine what you want to tweak very, very rapidly.
Because you don't have to change. You don't have to reach out to the writer, right? You just do it yourself.
Yeah.
And then these interiors, of course, are gorgeous too.
Yeah, I know you want to talk about tips at the end, but I will say every writer, if you have the means to learn how to do lettering, it's such a godsend to be able to letter your own book.
So did you do these like sound effects as well?
Yep, I did everything.
Yeah, these are gorgeous. I love it. Like the sob and the weight. Like this is awesome. The slam. This is gorgeous.
Yeah, my personal tendencies for lettering tend to be a little bit more like brush type fonts and stuff that looks more hand lettered than digital lettering. And it tends to lead to like a more, I don't know how to describe it, a less traditional comic look to pages, but one that I think, you know, adds a little bit of grit to the pages as well.
So let's go ahead. We'll check out some of these pledge tiers too. Once again, everyone that is watching right here is the link. Be sure to check this out. If you can back, that'd be fantastic. But if not, simply putting this on Facebook or Twitter, anywhere you can, word of mouth is 100% free. And we're going to be taking a look at some of these pledge options right here. You can get the digital of this for $12. You said how many, this was how many pages altogether?
76, including the covers. So wow. Each story is 31 sequential pages, and then there's a bunch of art pages and fun stuff in there too.
Outstanding price. But if you're just interested in one story, you do have the option to get one of those digitally for $6. I think that's pretty cool too. I don't think I've ever seen a double feature like that was combined and then had the ability to split up for to be purchased separately like that. So that was a really cool option, I think. We have the print retail at $20. So you get the standard retail cover print, 74 pages with the cover. Outstanding price there as well. And then the collector tier. So give us a little bit about this tier.
Yeah, so this is the same, the retail tier. So the retail version of the book with the two covers and all the features. Then another version of the book with the variant covers. I have some fun variant art there with a Vesper cover done by Alessandro Amoruso is the name of the artist. And then the Sazerac cover is done by Adrian Bonilla, who's an awesome up-and-coming indie artist.
I love that crow. That looks awesome, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's a really great artist I've worked with recently a lot called Diego Porto, who's a traditional illustrator. And he did that art print in the left, which gets included. That's going to be printed in soft touch suede. So something cool you can, you know, put in your home bar or just somewhere if you like kind of dark, you know, Poe-ish style art. And then that's a cool awesome. Die-cut sticker.
That's awesome. And then we also have some add-on options as well. You can get an additional print for $18 or one of the variant cover prints for $20. And right here is a larger image. This is gorgeous too. Really love this crow with like the bloody handprint.
Yeah, it came together super well.
And then some of your previous work too?
Yep. Yeah, the Ignis Quadrant. I mentioned that's a space western inspired by Firefly, Cowboy Bebop, Star Wars, that kind of stuff. Super, super fun story if you're into violence, you know, space, drugs, rock and roll, everything that can come together and a fun sci-fi adventure like that.
That's awesome.
It's 160 pages, really long, fulfilling story. So $25 for a trade of that.
Outstanding price too for 160 plus pages. Wow, this is one outstanding campaign. Let's go ahead and switch over back to original camera. Everyone that is watching, once again, there is the link. Be sure to check it out. Now, after going through that Kickstarter, what would you like to say to anyone who might be on the fence about backing this? If you just had like a few moments to kind of help them push, you know, push them over that edge.
Yeah, obviously, like I said earlier on, it's, you know, there's themes related to drinks and alcohol and stuff in there, but it is just a soft inspiration. This will appeal to anybody who likes horror, noir, or even kind of crime type books. And they're both longer than standard comic issues and are fulfilling individual stories. So I think even if you want to just get a single story, you'll more than get your money's worth.
Well, that is awesome. And like I said, I had the opportunity to read one of the books and I thought it was a fantastic story. I was gripping. I was not expecting it. And that twist at the end was just chef kiss. Like, it was phenomenal. We were talking backstage about it and I just was like so surprised by it. You guys are missing out if you're not backing this today. So with that being said, it is time for us to wrap up. Before I let you go, I'd like to ask one piece of advice for you, for anyone who might be new and watching, starting out in comics. So with that being said, for anyone who is getting started for the first time and having trouble just getting motivated to start, what advice would you offer them to kind of help them just get enough energy to get started?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm coming from the aspect of the writer and creator, but it is unbelievably crazy how addicting it is creating in comics in a good way. I mean, if I have a day that goes by where I don't have a new piece of art in my inbox or something from one of my collaborators, I mean, it's like an addiction. And in all the best ways, you know, even that if you're trying to write a new story and you start out and that first even layout you get from a collaborator is going to give you such a rush of adrenaline seeing your vision come to life, it's absolutely worth it.
Oh, that is awesome. And I think for anyone out there that is hesitant or just waiting to kind of to seize the moment, you know, once you get a taste of it, that's game over. It's just going to be an avalanche from there. So before, you know, actually, let's hold up. I forgot to ask. What other future projects do you have up your sleeve for 2023? I mean, I know you said you were doing this. You were doing the tabletop. Is there anything else coming out that we can look forward to?
Oh, man. Yeah, I have a large anthology in the universe of the Ignis Squadron coming out shortly on Kickstarter that has some of the best creators in indie comics that contributed stories to it. I'm really excited for that. It's going to be called How to Die in the Quad, and it's a series of stories all about death and how hard it is to survive in the crazy frontier of space. So I have that coming. I also have another creator-owned miniseries called Tox, T-O-X-X, that is a really interesting post-apocalyptic story.
Oh, that's
that
awesome.
Kind of combines Children of Men with The Last of Us with Mad Max a little bit.
Okay.
And that was inspired when my wife and I gave birth to our child during the pandemic. And I mm-hmm. It was a situation where, like, you can't have any guests in the hospital. You know, it kind of felt like the world.
Oh,
was
did you? Did you? So, did
fantastic.
They not let you like see her? Like, were you not able to? Or
I was able to be with my wife, but no guests. Like, our parents couldn't come in or anything, which was kind of a godsend.
I know at one point they were not letting husbands like into the delivery room.
I would have had a problem with that. I would have disguised myself at the doctor and snuck in or something.
Oh man! But congratulations, though. How's that been? That was 2 years now.
Oh, it's almost 2 years. It's life altering, and it's made its way into my writing and the topics I want to write about, and everything you could imagine.
So, any children's book coming out in the future?
Oh, I absolutely do have a children's book. Well, yes, it's on a list of things. So, Tox is a post-apocalyptic story about a woman who, in a world where humanity has been made sterile from radiation, becomes pregnant, essentially. Oof. And it's her journey through that. And I co-wrote that with Eric Palicki, and that was picked up by Blood Moon. So it's coming to the direct market in July and Kickstarter before that.
Congratulations, man.
Thanks. And I'm writing another series with CJ Hudson, who I'm sure you know.
Yep.
We're both martial artists. I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and he does boxing. So we kind of bonded over that and decided to write a cyberpunk story about an old guy who needs to get back into fighting for a myriad of reasons and his journey as a martial artist.
That's cool. That's awesome. Me and my daughter, we actually do Kenpo. So we do stand up. I want to get her into that, though, because I think that is very important for, you know, because you could only hit so hard, but grappling, like, you could really do some damage if you know how to do it, right? Like,
absolutely. But it's also the only martial art that you can train at 100% without hurting your opponent, if you know what you're doing as well, mm-hmm. which is one of the benefits. And then I'm not going to list all the projects because there's too many, but you asked about children's books. So I'm writing a YA graphic novel right now with Devin R. Scott as well, which is going to be coming out in 6 to 8 months.
Another familiar name. Exciting.
Yeah.
What a small world. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Well, thank you so much for swinging by. I really appreciate it. Everyone watching right here is the link one more time. Be sure to back this. And if you're unable to back, put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, anywhere you can. Word of mouth is 100% free. I hope you all have a fantastic Tuesday night. But most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.